Road man, it is stage 15 of this year's Tour de France. It's the one we've been waiting for. Le Col du Grand Colombier. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this. How do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman podcast, guys. It's been stage 15, one that a lot of us have been looking forward to. When the Tour de France route got announced back in October, this was definitely one of the standout stages. I said it the other day because it was 10,000 feet of climbing that it was the queen stage. I don't know, possibly there's an argument to say this is the queen stage. Possibly there's an argument to say the time trial on next coming Saturday up La Planche de Bellefille is the queen stage. Who knows? There is a queen stage. I don't know which one it is. Maybe you do. But this was definitely a very decisive stage and it blew to absolute shit. I'm going to talk about that in 1 second. I want to just let you in on a little something here. We're going to do our kind of little bit of a trust tree, circle of trust here. I'm back doing a bit of training. This year has been a strange year for me with COVID and all the races have been called off. But there's a buddy of mine, Sean McKenna. Some of you might know Sean's, you know, he's ex on Post Chain Reaction. He's, he's been a pretty big, prominent training partner for me for a number of years. And he's a coach as well for A1 coaching. Roadman coaching, should I say, Roadman cycling. But myself and Sean had ourselves a little wager. The national championships are 3 weeks away. Neither of us have really trained that much. We've been riding our bikes, but we haven't been training that structured through lockdown because a lot of the races are off. So 3 weeks to go, we said, you know what? We're going to have a little wager. So we had a little wager between me and Sean, the price for the lunch, as to who's going to finish ahead of who in nationals. So nationals is 3 weeks away. Obviously, a lot of the big boys will probably be coming home. Nico's doing his Tour de France at the moment. But, you know, I've started training as well. So I was out this morning, 5 hours this morning, and I'm feeling it now. But why I wanted to tell you this story is because Sean is just such a Judas. He claimed, no, I'm not really training. Now, bear in mind, we're training partners. He's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to train really today. I might go and do a gravel ride or something. And the sneaky bastard, where did I catch him? I caught him on the local, not even the local climb, I caught him in the mountains, out doing sneaky intervals. So that's it, gloves are off. If you're listening, you're on notice. You have 3 weeks and you're going to get served. So that's that bit of business covered and that's the important business for today. Now let's move on to stage 15 of the Tour de France. The breaks have been getting very little leeway with the format and the closeness of the green jersey competition, and today it was no exception. Again, we had a break hoovering up some of the sprint points, but the sprint teams, they want to make sure there's something left to scrap for. Bennett's boys made sure Sam had points to sprint for, but not only that, they sprinted again with Bennett and their lead out man, meaning they deprived Sagan of points. So Sagan was third in the bunch sprint behind Bennett and his lead out man Morkov, I think it was. Which is a sneaky little tactic that I haven't actually seen that before. Now, I know back before I really was a cycling aficionado, I think there was a super tight with Robbie McEwen. There was a super tight green jersey battle that went all the way down to Paris. I don't know what year that was, but that I've heard has been the closest since this one. But we're going to Paris for this one. This is going to be epic. Green battle all the way. The Grand Colombier was what we were waiting for all day, and it was the sort of daunting target in the back of everyone's mind. But Jumbo Visma set this tempo all day where they just put the hurt on people, and the race just got spat out the back, constantly losing men out the back all day. And I don't even know where to start talking about this kid, Wout van Aert. You've heard me on the podcast talking about Wout already. If you're not a regular listener of the podcast, Wout has been world cyclocross champion. He's European time trial champion. He won Strada Bianchi. He won Milan San Remo. He's won sprint stages in the Tour. He's won sprint stages in the Tour even after he's been called upon to work early in the stage. And he's climbing the Mystique now in the high mountains. And we'd seen it earlier in the race. But the display we've seen from Wout van Aert today, it's one for the ages. Wout van Aert rode the GC contenders from other teams out of the race. Think about that for a second. Jumbo-Visma's sprinter, in inverted commas, rode Egan Bernal out, the defending champion, out of the Tour de France. Let that sink in. Quintana, out of the Tour de France. Martin, out of contention. These guys are gone because of Wout van Aert. It was incredible. Wout van Aert set a tempo on the front, which was insane. He was melting faces. When he pulled off, the devastation was unreal. And the devastation at the end of the day for Bernal, the defending Tour de France champion. It's over 7 minutes he lost at the top of the Grand Colombier. Like, go on, arrivederci, see you, good night. Thanks for coming, Bernal. He is out of contention for this year's Tour de France. I seen at the finish line, he was saying that from the first climb, I wasn't going well. I almost got dropped there. All day, I've been lacking power. I feel like I've lost 3 years of my life, but that's cycling. It's like that. Ah, my God. On that climb itself, he said, I was waiting for a miracle that obviously failed to happen. 7 minutes. 7 minutes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing today when I seen him just the tempo that Wout said. It was incredible. Now, we know Quintana is historically prone to this completely falling apart. And I had picked Quintana and tipped Quintana as being someone who could potentially go for the podium. But that's falling apart from today as well. Bad day for Colombia. Real bad day for Colombia. Quintana historically has fallen apart. I remember him on Vontoux a couple of years ago completely. There's a point in a stage race where he's just one of those guys I wouldn't want on my team. He seems to have a cyanide pill in his back pocket, and he takes the L cyanide pill and just gone. Good luck. Dumoulin again was incredible. This should be renamed the Jumbo-Visma show today, because it's just a roll call of honour from these Jumbo-Visma warriors, soldiers, that just ripped this race apart. And we seen Yates attacking, and it was a stinging looking attack. One of the best climbers in the world. And what the Jumbo do, they don't even blink. Dumoulin just sets a tempo, stays at work. Yates gets 8 seconds, goes back to 6 seconds, goes back to 4 seconds. Dumoulin just rolls up on him as if, like, yeah, don't do that again. Like when he bitch slapped Carapaz last week, where he just said to Carapaz, gave him a look up and down and said, let the big boys work. He done something similar to Yates today, and it was it was kind of funny to watch. It was hard to watch. So in the finish, we just had them winding up this tempo. Dumoulin pulled off at about a kilometre to go. They still had Sepp Kuss, they still had Roglic. Roglic went, Sepp Kuss came over the top. At the end of the day, we had this Slovenian kid who, you know, he's making all the headlines at the moment. Pogacar winning the stage from Roglic and Port. Bernal 7 minutes back. Importantly, on the finish line, Pogacar's after picking a 10-second bonus up, and Roglic has only got 6 seconds. So Pogacar's moved from 44 seconds in arrears on the general classification to 40 seconds on arrears. Now, the commentators on Eurosport, they must be looking at a different GC because they think it's sewn up. This Tour de France is going down to the wire. Like, I'm talking, we're going down to the Saturday. This time trial up La Planche de Belfie. This is a Tour de France for the ages. This is going to be Le Mans, Fignon, time trial all over again. Because we've a lot of hard days coming up in the last week of the Tour. Everyone's talked about the last week. There's very little separating Pogacar and Roglic. But Pogacar's getting the edge. He's nudging back 10 seconds here, 5 seconds there. If we go into that last stage with a 10-15 second deficit for Pogacar, don't forget, this kid is one of the best time trialists in the world, and it finishes on La Plage de Belfie, which is super hard. It's going to be epic. I'm literally edge of the seat stuff for this last week. We have a Colombian on the podium, Rigoberto Urán Urán. So good they named him twice at 134. We have Superman Lopez at 135, and we have Yates at 203. So the battle for that podium is actually really, it's an exciting one as well. And I often talk about the Tour de France is just so fascinating because you have a race within a race within a race within a race. So you have all these derivatives. You have the main GC race, you have the climbers battle, you have the green jersey, which is fascinating. You have young rider, and then you have the podium. And that's what makes it so interesting to watch it unfold, because you have a stage like today, and on a climb, if Yates attacks, who's sixth on GC, and he's 2 minutes and three down, immediately, Roglic doesn't need to be that worried, because if it's 5 kilometers from the top of a climb, Roglic is kind of going, you know what, Yates is not going to take 2 minutes out of me in 5K. But who does start getting worried is Lopez and Arran, because he's only 15 and 20 seconds behind them. So then they start getting worried and they start sending teammates to the front. So always be looking when you see these attacks, especially in the final. Okay, who's attacking? Now, who is that going to concern? And watch the dynamic in the peloton change, because a Yates attack will concern guys around him on GC. Even somebody who's behind him and is hoping to leapfrog him that day, you'll see them just summon their lieutenants to the front to put out that fire. So it's fascinating to watch it unfold. It's like chess on wheels, and that's why I just love watching it. You could legitimately watch 4 or 5 hours of it and just watch the pawns earlier on, the domestiques. How are they being moved? How are they being utilised? Because everything happens for a reason on it. What I was a little disappointed today was Pogacar. He was clearly super strong in the final, that he didn't just give a little test with 2-3K to go and try and get a little bit more time back. Is that tactical, that he knows he's super strong and he doesn't want to take the jersey because he's going to have to defend the jersey and he doesn't have the team to defend the jersey? That's one possibility. Another possibility is he just wasn't feeling that good and he just mustered up enough for the sprint. I had seen little bit of debate on Twitter. People saying potentially did Roglic gift him the stage? No way did Roglic gift him that stage. Bonus seconds on the line. Tour de France going to the wire. There's no way Roglic is giving up 4 seconds. It was Sepp Kuss's birthday today. Sepp Kuss, Roglic's chief climbing domestique. It looked at one point like they were trying to set Sepp Kuss up for the win, but it didn't happen in the end. It was too important and there was too much at stake in those bonus seconds. Big story of the day really is not about who's taking steps forward, it's about who's taking steps back. We've Bernal effectively out of the Tour de France contention. No, he's not effectively. I'm just throwing in words for the sake of him there. He's out of contention for the Tour de France. Now, this is going to raise questions about Team Ineos' selection. Were they justified in leaving Froome at home? Were they justified in leaving Geraint Thomas at home? Geraint Thomas was second yesterday in Tirreno Adriatico, or the day before in a hilltop finish, so he clearly has some legs, but he didn't ride that well in the Dauphiné. Personally, I think the Froome decision is a good one, to leave Froome at home. He's such a big character. He's such a big, you know, the history of Froome and the Tour de France, it's inseparable. He, a five-time winner, can't go there and collect bottles. He wasn't in shape to win the Tour de France. They've Ineos or Sky or whatever you want to call them, the Grenadiers, they've historically been ruthless when it came to team leadership decisions, and they chopped Wiggins with almost zero sentimentality in favour of Froome, and they've done it again. I think that was a good decision. Geraint Thomas is a more difficult one to justify, because Thomas was in good form in the Dauphiné, although not sparkling, but he's in good form now in Tirreno Adriatico. It would have been amazing for them to have a backup plan. But I think the broader question about Ineos is, what the fuck is going on? Who is coaching them, or what has happened? Like, they're falling to shit. Like, we see on the front of the bunch today, like, just 10 lads left in the group, and there's 5 Jumbo-Visma. This used to be Ineos. Like, Sivakov, Kwiatkowski, you know, Carapaz. Now, I know Carapaz had a crash today, but he hasn't been at the pointy end. What's happened? Like, they've gone to pieces. Ineos have completely taken the mantle as the super team. So, yeah, complete head-scratcher for cycling fans, and I'm sure if the Team Ineos coach is looking at training files, he's going to have questions to answer, and I'm sure he's clinging on and looking to see what happened now, because it looks like the whole team is going shit. I think it's Tim Kerrishan is the performance director, or the training coach director of performance, or whatever you want to call it, for Ineos. Could be wrong, I could be just shaming him, but they've gone to shit. Whether people have come out of lockdown differently, because some countries had lockdown where you could only train indoors, I'm thinking Italy, I'm thinking France, Spain, Girona for a period, whereas other countries like the Slovenians, Pogacar and Roglic, you could train, like they had their nationals during lockdown for other people. You know, because we had Jani Brakovic on the podcast just before nationals, and he was training away at altitude, and so all this stuff plays a role. And Sagan as well, you know, he's not at peak form, and you know, that's one of the reasons. I personally think he just likes the party lifestyle a bit too much. Likes partying on the yachts. But when you give a kid from Slovenia, or you give him what's Sagan's contract, $5 million a year, it does bad things. Money will do bad things to a good man. Tomorrow we have a rest day. We have a rest day on the Tour de France, and we have a rest day on the Roadman podcast. Hope you've been enjoying the Roadman podcast so far. It's been great having an outlet, because otherwise I'm just going to be talking to my girlfriend Sarah and I'm going to be wrecking her head about cycling. It's great to have this outlet to talk to you guys and have this dialogue, and I love that it is a dialogue, and some of you are hitting me up on Instagram with your thoughts on the stage. Just keep coming with that, and if at any point those messages become annoying, you'll hear me saying it. Folks, before I finish, I would just ask you to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Patreon's how I fund this podcast. It's how I support the podcast. A buddy remarked recently how much the audio has improved in the last couple of months, and that's just completely down to you guys and support I've gotten on Patreon. So thanks very much for Patreon support, and it's needed now more than ever during the Tour de France. So if you want to buy me the price of a beer, the price of a coffee once a month to say thanks for the podcast, if you're getting some value from it, where you can do that is patreon.com. I'm going to leave the link in the description down below. Folks, that's been it. We're into the second rest day of the Tour de France, and we are finally poised in the yellow jersey battle, and we're finally poised in the green jersey battle. I cannot wait. Enjoy the rest day, and ride safe out there, roadmen.